Good afternoon again, everybody. Welcome back. It's Farm Talk here in the North Dakota Corn Grower Studio. I'm Mick Cairn. We're heading to Washington, D.C. And we have National Farmers Union President, North Dakota's very own Roger Johnson. Hello, Roger.
Good to be with you, Mick.
Thank you. Hey, we've had some things in the news. One of them, though, has not made it to the news yet because the event hasn't happened. It's the National Farmers Union Convention coming up the weekend of March 5th and 6th. But you're pretty close this time down in Minneapolis.
Yeah, it's actually going to be that first week in March. We start Saturday night the 5th with the opening banquet, and we end on Tuesday the 8th. We've got Secretary Vilsack coming out giving a keynote. We've got General Wes Clark, who's going to come out and talk to us about national security issues and energy and all that kind of stuff. We've got a panel with as many of the members of the Minnesota congressional delegation as we can get who will be there. And of course, the big reason for the convention is that we have, this is the time where we establish the policy for the coming year. And we spend a day and a half with the delegates debating everything about what we stand for.
And so rally the troops, get all the Farmers Union members who do plan to attend, all the delegates, and everybody wants to vote on policy. Be there or be square, right?
There you go. Yeah, it's at the Hotel Radisson Blue, which is attached to the Mall of America, south of Minneapolis.
All right. Convenient for a lot of other things, too. Excellent.
Yep.
All right. Well, the President Obama released his 2017, I believe, fiscal budget, and it involved some good things, I guess, some things like it reaffirmed investment in ag research. I guess nobody can complain about that.
No, that really is something that we've been falling behind on for a long time. As a sector of our economy, I think the money that we put into research is under 2%, and it needs to be significantly above that. A lot of more mature and more robust industries routinely are investing double or way above that, depending on the industry. And we've got, you know, we've got lots of changes that are happening in the world. We need to be making sure that we put more and more money into research, because that's the future. So that's a good thing. It's a good part of the budget.
Yeah, but a bad part appears to be cuts to crop insurance again. I know Congress in December put the kibosh on that, but here comes cuts to what the Dakotas here are very familiar with, Prevent Plant. So what are the details on these cuts to crop insurance?
Well, I think the big one is it's a ratcheting down of the percent of the government subsidy. On average, it's 63%, I think, of the premium is subsidized by the government for crop insurance, and the administration is proposing to drop that down to 50%, and then there are some other changes that are suggested. I don't know that it's worth talking about the details of the changes suggested, because I don't think Congress is going to go there. I think the argument that we've been making and have been largely succeeding on with any cuts to farm bill programs is, listen, we just did a farm bill. It's a five-year bill. Let's, for all kinds of reasons, let's just make sure that we maintain that bill. We don't go in and cut chunks out here or there. And so I don't think Congress is going to seriously consider those cuts. Having said that, it is also the case that the biggest expense item, the biggest non-nutrition expense item in the farm bill is crop insurance. It's significantly more than any of the other components, and that hasn't always been the case. In earlier farm bills, usually the commodity title was bigger and crop insurance was a relatively small part of it. It's grown in importance. It's expanded to cover other crops. It's in pretty much all of the states. There are different options that are out there, all of which is to say that it is a bigger target because that's where the money is. And so I expect that there will continue to be attempts to make cuts to crop insurance in Congress. There always are. There are several of them every year. And we're going to have to fight this for some long while. And I think, you know, we need to have a serious conversation about, are there ways that we can do things better with the limited dollars that we have? Unfortunately, our political system doesn't lend itself very well to those sort of serious discussions anymore and debates and compromises. So we're sort of in this spot of, no, we're not going to accept any cuts, and I think that's where we're going to end up this year.
Wow. But one of the compromises of the 2014 Farm Bill was farmers gave up direct payments in lieu yep. of a pretty, I guess, healthy or acceptable crop insurance program, which they want to now slash.
Yeah, the direct payments are given up in part for crop insurance, and also in large part they were replaced by PLC and ARC, which are the commodity title programs that are supposed to provide either some sort of income protection to farmers, or at least in the case of ARC, to give them a glide path to a lower level, which has never been something that Farmers Union has been much of a fan of. We've always been more of a fan of let's make sure that we at least provide some sort of a safety net below which we just don't allow market prices to fall, because if they do, then it just puts a whole lot of folks out of business for no really good reason.
Yeah. All right. Well, again, but I hope everybody's keeping their fingers crossed at what you said at the outset, you know, happens, that Congress just won't let this happen.
Yeah, I don't think they will. Especially this year, it's an election year. It's the last year that Obama's going to be in power. I think, you know, you've got all these candidates running around and talking. You've got Congress that's going to be in session a lot less time this year because it's an election year. So all of those things, I think, add up. Plus, you have the chairman and ranking members of both the Senate and the House Ag Committee saying, no way, we're not going to countenance this cut. And so I just don't think it's going to happen.
Okay. Well, we'll hope that what your vision comes true there, Roger. So.
Well, we'll fight to make it true, because yeah. I'm sure it'll take a lot of lobbying to make sure that happens.
Okay. Well, thanks in advance for that, doing that. Say, I have a conundrum here. I've kind of a strange thought here. If ChemChina buys Syngenta, will they be able to resolve the MI? Will they import MIR-162 trade? How can they? Well, they certainly won't solve the court issues here for that U.S. farmers yeah. are. But maybe Chinese farmers could plant MIR-162.
It raises a really interesting question. I mean, most of the time, these mergers and acquisitions have been something that we have opposed vigorously because they end up in reducing competition. That's certainly the case with the Dow-DuPont merger that we're dealing with now. It was the case when Monsanto was courting Syngenta. With ChemChina buying Syngenta, it's less about sort of overt lack of competition in our marketplace. It raises a whole bunch of questions. And you put your finger on one of them, Mick. Because ChemChina isn't just a Chinese company. It's a Chinese government-owned company. So that raises all kinds of questions about, will ChemChina behave in what we would consider to be an economically rational and economically predictable way? Or will, as the Chinese have so often demonstrated, will they behave in erratic ways, in unpredictable ways? Will ChemChina, as the owner of Syngenta, suddenly find a way to get all the Syngenta crop seed traits approved in China, while all the other company traits remain on the slow track? And does that mean that then if folks plant Syngenta seed here, they're more likely to have a market around the world because China's going to accept it? Or are they going to favor that company with the Chinese farmers? Mm-hmm. I mean, it just raises lots of very interesting and troubling questions because, I mean, one thing that we know since China was granted PNTR 15 years ago or so is they have behaved in erratic ways, in unpredictable ways, many of us would argue in unfair ways in terms of free trade or competitive trade. They have aggressively moved into our currency markets for the specific purpose of devaluing their currency so that their exports to us would be cheaper and our exports to them would be more expensive. I mean, they've just done a bunch of things that have raised questions not only in this country but around the world in how they engage with the rest of the world in trading environment. So it's a really big question, and I think a lot of folks are scratching their heads about what are the implications of ChemChina owning Syngenta.
Well, it sends up a lot of red flags, no pun intended. But
Yeah, really.
Okay. All right. Roger, we're out of time. Hey, thanks so much. Hey, we'll see you in Minneapolis at the National Farmers Union Convention. And thank you for the time today.
Very good. Thanks a bunch, Frank.
You take bet. Care. Roger Johnson, thank you so much. All right. Hey, we're going to take a break and come back. Trent Liu is going to talk about the situation out in Oregon right after this on Farm Talk.